Hello, Book Besties. Welcome to episode 21 of the Books and Muckers podcast. I'm Shai.
I'm Em.
Grab a drink, get cozy, let's talk books.
Hello, hello.
Hey, good afternoon. How are we?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad. In the change of scenery, which I'd apologise now if at any point in this episode my audio sounds, I can't think of the word.
Different?
Different? Wrong? Annoying? Irritating? If there are any like clicking sounds or anything, I'm sorry. I'm having to record downstairs, so I'm holding my mic.
Yeah, you're having a little bit of a change of scenery today. What's been happening? How's your week been reading wise?
It's been good. I finished Love Theoretically. Not the five stars that Love Hypotheses was, but I've given it four, and it was a very, very good read. The main character was hilarious. I absolutely loved it. And I've gone back to Chestnut Springs. I've just started Hopeless again, which I'm very excited about. I'm only one chapter in. I started it quite late last night. I don't want to say that the main character is going to annoy me, but he may annoy me. He's already grating on me a little bit.
This is Bo's story, right?
It's Bo's story, yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. Hopeless, it's obviously I've read the first four, but I'm excited to read the fifth, but I think that the problem is Reckless for me, I gave five stars. I fell in love with it, fell in love with the characters, the story. And I think my concern is that anything from there, I don't think Hopeless is going to live up to Reckless.
And I can't even make you feel better about it. I don't think it is. Reckless was a phenomenal read. I think we're going to do an episode, aren't we, where I think we'll go through, we'll rank the Chestnut Springs series. We'll do a Chestnut Springs series themed episode in the future once we've read all of the books.
Yeah, I agree with that, because I think there's certain things that I would like us to discuss, which right now, not the time. But yes. Okay, so finished Love Theoretically, four stars, and we started on Hopeless. Okay, I've had quite a busy reading week, actually. So I finished If You Hate Me, which was really good. I really enjoyed it. Four stars for me. I then spent the week reading Binding 13 and Keeping 13. Both I gave five stars. I thought they were absolutely outstanding. Hugely emotional, very character relationship led, but absolutely loved it. Completely my sort of thing. Quite a tough read, I would say, if you are considering it. Maybe have a look at your trigger warnings, but it's incredible books. And then I got my ARC for The Tape Job, and I have read that, and I gave it four stars as well.
Okay. I want to say that I'm very proud of you, because at the start of your reading journey, you was a five-star whore. Every book was a five-star. Nothing brings me more joy than hearing you give a book a four-star. No offense to the authors.
Yeah. Do you know, the thing is, we had a conversation about this a while ago, and you did sort of point this out that, yeah, you're right. Absolute five-star whore. I was flinging these stars at people and books like they were sweeties. And you were right. I think I was far too generous. And I think now, for me, I've changed my criteria up. And for me, a five-star, I need to have had quite a strong emotional response to it. I mean, with Binding and Keeping 13, I absolutely did. I mean, those books, they had me in tears with laughter, in tears and sadness, very emotional books. Whereas If You Hate Me and The Tape Job, brilliant books, but for me, they were missing something. And when I review the books, obviously, I will put in why I've given the lower stars. But yeah, I think now a five-star read really has to do something to me, which a lot of books now actually aren't, that probably last year I would have said were five stars.
Yeah, I think the more you read, the more your idea of what a five-star book should be. Because I was exactly the same. At the very, very start, actually, no, for quite a while, actually, when I started reading, before I really established what it was that I liked, I was like, oh, this is phenomenal. Such a good book. It was probably a three or a two. Like, looking back at some of the books that I gave a five, actually, I've gone back through my Goodreads and rereated quite a few of the books that I read right at the beginning because I realized that my criteria changed for what warranted a five star.
100%. And the thing is, I think you're right. The more that you read, the more you will see where your criteria lies. And I think, for example, when I read my first Mafia series, I thought, wow, this is incredible. Five stars, 100%. Then I read another Mafia series and thought, actually, that first one, while it was good, probably three star. Like,
Yeah.
realistically, for me, and I think until you do read more and you broaden your horizons and read more of the same genres and the same tropes, you're not going to know where criteria lie. It's interesting you say about Goodreads because I've actually started rating and reviewing on Goodreads this year. I read, I think it was around 90 books last year that I actually have unrated on Goodreads. And I think I do rereads a lot. And I think what I'm now going to start doing is when I'm rereading a book, even if I don't do a full reread, because sometimes I do just like to read sort of certain parts that I enjoy, I think I will start rating them on Goodreads. But I think probably what I had in my head about these books, once I reread them, I'll probably feel differently.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Maybe we should do an episode of your re-ranking some of the books that you said you absolutely loved. It'll be interesting to see if they drop.
Yeah, definitely. Because as I said already, I've done a few rereads this year that for me were probably four or five stars. And now, probably not a two, but could see it being a three.
Yeah, I can see that. In terms of bookish news, I do have something that I'd like to share.
Okay.
Paperback of Fourth Wing has officially hit the stores, guys.
Yay!
Woo! If you are an annotator, it's your time to shine. It's really pretty, actually, as well.
I know it's black. It's absolutely stunning. The black and gold is beautiful. Now, I think I've seen on TikTok that it's in the works, although it's not showing on the works website yet. But we have found on WH Smith's website, the paperback is on there. So I'm presuming it's in WH Smith stores as well. I'm so excited about this. And I think I love my copy of Fourth Wing, my hardback, but I cannot wait to get my hands on this copy.
Yeah, I'll say this. If you are able, if you're in the UK, is WH Smith just in the UK? I'm assuming it is. Yeah, I think it is.
I think so.
We'll fact check that at a later date and confirm next episode. But if you're in the UK and you can get to a WH Smith's, it is only £4.99, which is phenomenal. Like, it's such a good price. But yeah, I tabbed my hardback. I didn't highlight anything. I'm so excited to go through, see my tabbed pages, and then just annotate as, oh, I'm so excited. I'm going to make a whole thing of it.
I've actually done the same thing. And interestingly enough, Fourth Wing was the first book that I ever tabbed. But I have only tabbed it. I haven't touched it with highlighters. So I'm so excited to just annotate the shit out of this book, to be honest. Just on books that are in stores, I have seen on TikTok that Binding 13 and Keeping 13 are in the works now as well for £5 each, which I am very, very excited about. One question I do have for you. Now, today it's the 19th of March. We are in the middle of a book buying ban. Are you going to stick until the end of the month?
This is difficult for me because I am going to Blue Water today. And if it is in the works, Fourth Wing, that being, I can't say that I'm not going to purchase that book because I don't have any self-control. So possibly.
Yeah, do you know what? 100%, I'm with you. I'm probably not going to make it today, but I have to say, the thought of not getting my hands on some of these books until the end of the month or the start of next month, it's making me really sad. And I think,
Although we
well,
did have a deal and we said that we're not going to get to the end of the month, we're going to get to payday. And that is only 6 days away now. So, I mean.
I know. And part of me wants so badly to meet that deadline. But I think a bigger part of me is just, I think, especially with Binding and Keeping 13, because I've read them and how much I absolutely fell in love, I want my hands on them. I have a really strong urge to go through and highlight certain parts of the book. I mean, my Kindle, I highlighted the absolute shit out of those books. I mean, really and truly, the amount of highlights in my Kindle is ridiculous for those. But there are certain parts that I feel like I want to see the words in front of me, like on paper and highlighted, which I know sounds ridiculous, but I think
No.
if you are a reader who annotates in tabs, I think you'll know what I mean. Just you want to see it in front of you. And I think just the thought of having to wait another week, to be honest, with the Fourth Wing thing, I just need that book. I'm so in love with how it looks. I need it in my hands.
Yeah. Do you know what the Binding 13 and Keeping 13 books are? Very pretty as well. The original covers I weren't a fan of. I know they had photographed people on there, and I was like,
Yeah.
no, wrong, Chloe Walsh, how dare you? But the new covers are so pretty. So I can see where the temptation is coming from and the need to annotate. I get it. I sit like honestly, last night I was sitting there thinking about sitting down with a nice color selection for tabs, my Fourth Wing book, and just going to town. Like the thought of it brings me joy.
Yes, and what I would say on the Fourth Wing annotation point is that there are so many statements and sections in Fourth Wing that I love so much, and I cannot wait to highlight those sections and actually just see them in front of me. It does make me really excited, and I think, I mean, yes, I could have annotated my hardback, but I just, for some reason, the paperback just makes me a little bit more comfortable, which is ironic because it's actually, I personally find it easier to annotate a hardback because it sits open easier with, well, because I hate breaking spines.
Yeah, you're gonna
It's
have
the
to
worst
let
thing
that
about
one
annotating
go.
for, it's the worst thing about annotating for me is breaking the spines. Because even I try and relax them, and I spend so long sitting individually relaxing all the pages, which I'm dreading the 13s because they are both over 600 pages, but I still end up with creases in my spines. But you're right. I need to just build a bridge and get over that. I do.
Yeah, you do. Because I've said it to you before, but when they're on the shelf, no one can tell.
I
No one
know.
can tell.
I know. It'd be fun. But yes, yeah, so that's an exciting bookish update.
Is. Guess we'll find out next week if we caved and broke our ban.
Yeah. Yeah, stay tuned for that update. I can
Yeah.
almost guarantee how it's gonna go.
It's going to be broken by tonight.
Yeah, I can see it happening. Definitely can see it happening. I had a tiny bookish update, and it was just that Liz Tomford, who writes the Windy City series, she did a Q&A on Instagram. And one thing that I thought was really, really interesting was somebody had asked her. Now, if you've read Mile High, which is her first book in the series, it's about it's a hockey romance. It's about a hockey player and an air hostess. And someone actually said, "Oh, did you used to be cabin crew?" And she actually said, "Yes, I still am." And when she responded, she said, "I'm actually going tomorrow on a 9-day trip." And for some reason, it just really shocked me. I didn't expect her to be cabin crew. And it was just something that it's one of these little things that when you hear information, I just wanted to share.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? Because you assume that when authors are quite well known, it means that their bills are covered and they wouldn't have a need to work. Like you assume that writing is their full-time job. It just goes to show the fragility of a writing career in that you can't guarantee that that's going to be your sole income. I think a lot of authors probably have to keep up a second job and we're not even aware of it.
Yeah, as I say, I mean, it was one of those moments that I was just reading through her Q&A, and I got such a shock when she said, "Yes, and I'm about to go on a 9-day trip." And I thought, "Wow, it just wasn't something that I expected."
Yeah.
So yeah, not so much an update, more just a little piece of information if anyone's interested.
A little did you guys know this point?
Yes, 100%.
Now we do. So I guess moving on to the topic of this episode, which is gonna
Yes.
be book slumps, because I am in quite deep. Guys, listen, I had high hopes for March, had high hopes for what I was going to read in March. I have read a grand total of one book this month. Can we just confirm the date? Is it the 18th?
19.
No. Even worse, guys, when a book slump hits, it hits hard. it's so stressful.
So, where do you think your book slump has come from? Have you identified that there is a cause, or are you not too sure?
Right, I'm trying to think. What did I read before I went into my slump? Hold on one second. Okay, so I can confirm that the slump started after Reckless.
Okay, so I would say that when you go into a reading slump, one of two things will happen. Either you read a book which is so phenomenal, it almost changes something in you, or you read a book that's so terrible, you don't know where to go from there. And I'm going with considering it was Reckless, it was the first thing on you.
Yeah, and you know what, actually, looking at, so I have had 3 5-star reads this year, Heartless being one of them. And as we all know, that's part of the Chestnut Springs series. And I dived straight into Powerless after that. So I didn't leave the world. And I think that that's what sustains me a little bit after reading Heartless. I think that's why I didn't go into a slump. My mistake, I think, was trying to leave the Chestnut Springs series and going into something completely different. I think maybe if I had moved on to Heartless, I could have like eased myself out of. Do you know what I'm trying to, do you get what I'm trying to say? Like I just completely left the world. Reckless made me fall in love with it a little bit more, and then I just went cold turkey. And then suddenly I'm missing the characters, I'm missing the town, I'm missing her writing, and I've gone to a completely new author. Trying to get to know new characters, I should have just stayed in a comfort zone, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Now, am I right in thinking that after Reckless, you read Bride?
No. So my order of reading this year has been, sorry guys, I don't know if anyone cares, but we're going to do this. It was Checkermate, then it was Ruthless Vows, then it was Flawless, Heartless, and Powerless. Then I done Bride. Then I done Magnolia Parks. And then I done Reckless. And then after Reckless, I tried to go into Love Redesigned.
All right. Okay. And then you've done love. You DNF'd Love Redesigned and read Love Theoretically.
Yes.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, very, very different authors and
Very.
very different, I think, very different tropes as well. Because you sort of had with Reckless, small town cowboy, and then with Love Theoretically, you've gone women in STEM, which is massively, completely different. It's really interesting. How are you, and I suppose this sort of brings in a secondary sort of topic as well, where I suppose we're talking about mood reading as well. And that I suppose the question I have is, do you have a plan to get yourself out of your reading slump, or are you going to allow yourself to take a little bit of time?
I'm going to feel it out because I think. After finishing Reckless, I was very much still in the mood for small town country living, like that kind of vibe. And I think that that's why I went to Love Redesigned because it was advertised as that. But I didn't get the same feel because the lead guy is a millionaire. It's not like the same small town country living that Chestnut Springs or Knock 'Em Out or, you know. So I don't know what to do. I'm gonna be honest, I don't know what to do because I don't know anymore what I'm in the mood for. I feel like I have PTSD from Love Redesigned. I feel like I was in the mood for Small Town and it wasn't what I thought it was gonna be, and now I'm scared.
Yeah, I think that can be quite a daunting thing with a reading slump, and I suppose with mood reading as well, actually, is where your head is the book that you pick up going to match that energy? And I've had it before where I've been in the mood for something, I've picked up that genre, and actually by about 10% in, I know that this is just not for me. And I've DNF'd, as in the fact that I've put it back maybe to Kindle Unlimited, and I'll just stick it back on my TBR. It's not as in it's a DNF, as in I'm never going to read it again. It's just not what I want and need right now. And I think it's very, very difficult, because with Small Town in particular, when you have someone like Elsie Silver, who you fall in love with her writing and the characters and the world that she builds. When you do step away from it and potentially try another author's small town and it doesn't live up to it, I suppose there's a little bit of fear of, if I jump back into Elsie Silver's world, is it going to match where my energy is right now?
Yeah, and I think that that was my issue. I got scared of going back into Chestnut Springs. Hindsight, I should have just done it. Tried to find another small town because that's what my mood was telling me I wanted. And then it didn't live up to what I wanted. And thus the slump began of one chapter an evening, very painfully.
Yeah, and there is nothing worse. There's nothing worse than when you, because I've been in slumps before, but I've read a book that has been absolutely phenomenal, and then when I've picked up my next book, it's almost a chore to read it. You almost just want it over, and it's every time you pick it up, it takes every ounce of energy to read, as you say, even a chapter, which then makes the book lasts so long because you're never getting anywhere with it. Because I am a fast reader. I know we've spoken about that on previous episodes. Because I'm a fast reader, I can easily get through 200, 300 pages a night. So if I am only doing a chapter, if I'm in a reading slump, it can actually really affect my mental health. And I think that's what some people don't realize, that when you're a reader and you're as passionate as we are about reading, and really it means so much to us. When you do go into that reading slump, it can be really difficult to pull yourself out of that.
Yeah, because you have plans for the year. And we discussed this in our New Year episode. We get really excited about the things that we want to read in the coming year. And suddenly it's this obstacle that you just can't get past. And you're on Goodreads and you're seeing all of these books that you've got in your TBR and you're getting excited about them and you just can't get to them. It is so frustrating. And suddenly you don't enjoy the one thing that you do enjoy the most. It takes the enjoyment out of the reading.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We've spoken about how much reading means to us. Reading is our escape, reading is our comfort. And you're right, when that becomes an obstacle, where do you go? When reading is your comfort, where do you go when reading is then becoming the thing that's given you discomfort?
Anxiety, actually, if we're going to be honest. Because also, let's talk about the fact that as readers, most readers will set a goal at the beginning of the year for how many books they're going to try and read that year. There is nothing more anxiety inducing than going onto Goodreads, going into your Goodreads reading challenge, and seeing that you're one book behind schedule or two books behind schedule. The panic, because you're like, right, so now I've got to try and read two books in 1 week just to make up the time that I've lost reading this one book for 3 weeks. It's so stressful.
Yeah, it definitely is. I think one positive is that Goodreads, you can amend your reading
You
goal. And
can.
I have already for the year. I think I started out aiming for 100 books, and I think we spoke about that in the New Year special. Being honest, I have actually amended that and changed it to 150, purely because I'm getting through a lot more than I expected to. Again, though, if I'm finding later in the year I'm reading more, again, I'll raise it. Alternatively, if I'm finding that either I've gone into a slump or other things, life, gets in the way and I can't read as many, I can turn it down. But I'll be honest, I find it easy to raise it. I don't know how comfortable I would be reducing it. And I think if you are behind, you're right. I mean, it's a goal for a reason. It's because you want to hit it and you've set it for yourself as a goal.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I know that I said to you I was going to reduce it. I didn't because I can't. There's one thing extending the goal because it means you're doing better than you anticipated. Going the other way, in a way, it's gonna sound so dramatic, but we've established I'm the dramatic one of the podcast. It feels like you're failing. I'm just gonna say, like, you feel like a failure.
I completely understand why you feel like that, because even in its name, it's a goal. It's something you want to reach. It's something you want to hit. So it's natural that if you set a goal and you are having to reduce that because you're not going to hit that goal, or you feel you're not going to hit that goal, I understand how you would feel like you're failing or that you're a failure. What I would say is it's a hobby. So are you feeling like you still want to aim for the original goal that you set?
Yeah, I'm sticking to the original goal. And if I get to like June and I haven't made up the number of books that I need to, then I'll swallow my pride and humble myself a little bit, drop the number. But right now, I don't accept. I feel like I can get out of this. I feel like if I chuck in a couple of novellas, I'll be okay.
Yeah, 100%. And I think actually novellas are great for this sort of thing. If you are having a bit of reading slump, pick up something that's maybe 100, 150 pages. Something that really, it's not going to be too taxing and not going to take you too long. Even if you are just going a chapter a night, you could still probably bash it out in a week. So yeah, I think that's a really good plan. I think, do you have any other tips for sort of getting out of reading slumps?
Really goes against the episode that we had the other day. But if you're just not enjoying yourself, like I was not enjoying Love Redesigned and I tried to push through because I didn't want to DNF, guys. If it is taking you significantly longer than it would any other book and you are not enjoying it, DNF the book. And I know that we said, oh, if you get to like 50%, stick it out. No. If you are at 90% and you're like, I cannot do this, just DNF it because it's not worth the slump that you are going to get yourself into trying to get through it. And then the difficulty that you have once you finally do finish it of that was awful. Where do I go now? Because I'm scared to have another situation like that. Just DNF the book.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think if you at any point, because I've said it previously as well, I'm sort of DNFing about a quarter of the way in, I feel like I need to make a decision on DNF. No, you're right. If you, no matter how far you get through a book, if you are really getting to the point where you think this is becoming a chore, I'm no longer enjoying it, I feel like it's reading is not giving me the joy that I usually find in it, stop, put the book down. Even if you pick it up in a week, a month, a year, doesn't matter. Just DNF it. I would say one tip that I actually thought of was reread a favorite. If you are in a reading slump, you don't know what to do, you don't know where to go somewhere that's brought you joy before. So if you have a book that you really love, now it doesn't even have to be a full reread. If you just have certain chapters of certain books that you love and you want to go and reread it. For example, I love the second half of Fourth Wing. Now the first half, incredible. I mean, we know how much we both love that book. I really love the second half of Fourth Wing. Now, I have actually, I think once done a reread of only the second half. So if there are things that you want to get back excited about reading, go and pick out some favorite chapters of books and read them again.
Yeah, 100. Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Another thing that I would say is go somewhere completely new. So, if you're a romance reader, try a thriller, try a true crime book, try a fantasy book, try a young adult. Go somewhere completely new just for the change, just to sort of experience something new. You don't know what you're gonna be going into. That can really help. Sort of pull yourself out and get you excited to go back to what it is that you love reading. And also, I saw this tip from somewhere else. Start multiple books at once and just continue with the one that you feel connected to the most.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's, yeah, I think that's a really good point actually, because sometimes if you don't know what you want, yeah, start with three or four books, three or four different genres, different tropes, and just give it a go. One thing I would say as well is maybe try something new, even trope-wise. So even if you want to, for example, stay in the romance world, but you've never read a sports romance, you've never read mafia, go and pick up one of these books. It might just be something that gives you that little spark back that you love. One other thing that I thought of just when I was talking about the rereading, annotate a book. If there's a book that you've always really enjoyed and you've never annotated it, go and annotate it. Or even just if you've never tried annotating, do that. It might just make you fall back in love and remind you of why books mean what they do to you.
Yeah, and I'll say this, if you're someone that's worried about your reading goal as much as I am, the Books and Mockers podcast are here to tell you today that rereads count as reads. So they still go towards your goal. I don't care what anyone says, you're reading a book, whether or not you've read it for you're reading it for the first time or for the 100th time, it still counts towards your goal. So don't feel guilty about going back to reread a book to annotate it because it counts.
100%. And I think as well, even although I'm saying go back and reread certain chapters, If you want to mark that down as a full reread, do it.
Yeah.
Ultimately, no one knows what you've read apart from you. So you can put whatever you want on your Goodreads. If you go back and you read half of a book, but you feel that actually because you were in a reading slump and your mood's taken you longer to read that half a book than it would the whole book, mark it as a reread. Go on Goodreads and mark that off 100%. Whatever is going to make you fall back in love and get you out of your slump, do it.
Absolutely. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it from us this week, guys. If you enjoyed the episode, as always, do not forget to hit the follow button on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
And don't forget to come join us over on Instagram and TikTok at Books and Mockers Pod. Hope you have a great week, and we will see you next time.
Yep, speak to you next week. Bye.
Bye.